This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
I'm trying to challenge you to come away from excuse making, come away from procrastination, be decisive. Don't wait till all the conditions are perfect. Refuse to be lazy and watch God come in and begin to take you to places that you are probably now dreaming about.
I want you to look at your life, your family, your friendships, your job, your hobbies, every single piece that makes up your life. God cares about it. And I'm on a mission to show you how to take back the victory in all those pieces. How every single piece of your life is covered under this grace. So join me July 6th through the 10th for Grace Life 2020. Register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org. And remember, no piece left behind.
Tonight, we're going to talk about overcoming procrastination because but that's a big one, isn't it? I promise you, when you find procrastination, you're going to probably find a lot of missed opportunities and a lot of failure there. And regardless of who we are, it's something that probably requires our examination to make sure that procrastination hadn't become a subtle part of your life and how you do what you do. Let's begin in verse 5, St. John 5, and verses 5 through 9. He says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. How many of you know that's a long time to have an infirmity for 38 years? And he said, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, that he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Simple question. Do you want to be made whole? And he said, verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. Now, I said to you before that some people, they turn excuses into reason. It's really an excuse, but they try to turn it into their reason. And really, excuses are given for the whole purpose of the fact that you really don't want to do it, or you don't believe it. He says, I don't want anybody to put me in the water, in the pool. But while I'm coming, somebody else steps in front of me. Just more excuses. Look what he says in verse 8. And this is what I want to talk about tonight. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, if there's one thing that's going to be responsible for change in our life, it's when we take immediate action to do the thing that God's revealed to us to do, or to do the thing that we know we need to do. I don't know about you, but there are things that God makes known to you, and you just kind of, I mean, weeks go by and you don't do it, and I can't help but to wonder, what if you would have applied immediate action to the thing that you knew to do? And so it's what I hear Jesus saying here, rise, take up your bed, and walk. I hear him saying, do it now. I hear him saying, get up, take a step. That's what he's trying to get the guy to doing. You see, the excuses paralyzed him, and nothing was going to change until he did something now. Do something you haven't been able to do. I believe that's when something supernatural will begin to happen. You do what you can do in the natural. You do what you can do in the natural. And then what happens is God will add his super to your natural, and you'll experience supernatural results. This deal about just do nothing and, you know, I'm under grace and something's supposed to happen, I just really believe, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit has put something in your heart, he's trying to lead and guide and direct your life, and we do nothing. He said, get up, take up your bed, walk. Jesus was ready for him to be healed. He wasn't ready to step into it. So this is what I'm talking about. Don't confuse striving and performance-based with what I'm saying. This is cooperation with what has already been done. You know, faith has to what? Take possession of what grace has already made. So sometimes it's something so simple as forgiving someone, or something so simple as giving a gift to someone, or giving an offering to God, or something so simple as, you know, praising God when you don't feel like it. Something so simple as, you know, just the small things that the Spirit of God is leading you to do and the things you know to do. So don't worry if the progress is slow. Forget about what you haven't been able to do up until now, and just be willing to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides your life. Amen? Amen. So what's stopping you? The question, you know, can I really change? Can I really change? I know that comes up a lot. Can I really do this? Now, you may not believe things could have ever changed in your life, but he does. He believes you can. And that's why he's leading you and guiding you and speaking to you and inspiring you. Some of you have had dreams, and you know it. You knew it was God. And I just kind of wonder what's on the other side of me cooperating with what the Spirit of God is clearly placing on my heart to do. I mean, God sent us the Holy Spirit so he can be a guide into our lives. So, you know, under the law, you know, you know that you're supposed to do this with your spouse, but under grace, he starts guiding you through those things. He starts guiding you through those arguments and guiding you through those disagreements. He tells you, he told me one time, he says, don't say nothing, just shut your mouth, don't say nothing. Just hug her and be quiet. You know it worked? I said, God, you know your stuff. He said, I've been doing this for thousands of years. Okay, so when this particular man here in John chapter 5 started making excuses, saying, I have no man, the first thing Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, your pallet, walk. Jesus started giving him directions. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide you and give you directions. How many of you are open to the Holy Spirit directing your steps? Amen? And that's what was Jesus giving him directions. And the way to break out of failure in life and the inability to change in life is to take, watch this, immediate action. What is the Holy Spirit saying to do? You know, this morning session was like, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to do this. I didn't have a chance to have a lot of meetings and get it together. Okay, let's do it right quick. And I saw that. That really ministered to me today when I saw the number of people who took their time out to come to a morning session, and the number of people around the world who streamed in to come to a morning session because I was quick to just do it. Sometimes we try to sit and try to, you know, go through here, and he knows better. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes to begin to cooperate and allow him to lead and to guide and direct your life. So a sure way to failure and an inability to change, a sure way to failure and an inability to change is something called procrastination. If you want to, if you absolutely want to be a failure, procrastination will get you there. If you absolutely are not going to change and just kind of stay the same, procrastination to get you there. Let me give you a definition of procrastination. It means putting off immediate action or to put off doing something that you can do today for tomorrow. It's, you know, especially out of habitual carelessness or, dare I say, laziness. There's an element of laziness that's involved in procrastination, putting off immediate action. The thing I can do now, the thing I can do today, I'll do it tomorrow. The Holy Spirit shows up in your prayer time and he says, listen, I'd like to meet you every day about 6 o'clock. I just want us to have some fellowship time. Not as a rule that's required for me to bless you, but he's in it for the relationship. He's relational. I want to say some things to you that'll bless you. You'll say some things to me that will bless me. And we say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And then a week goes by and 2 weeks go by, and before you know it, it's not being done. So when a situation happens in your life or you come to this area of your life and you're like, what happened? And I'm thinking, I can't help but to think, man, on the other side of what he told me to do. And that's the thing. What was it on the other side that my procrastination, along with my excuses, paralyzed me? And so there are really three reasons for procrastination. Let's just jump in this. You ready? Three reasons for procrastination. Number one, indecisiveness. Indecisiveness. We can't make up our minds about what to do. And indecision is something that as a Christian you don't want to carry. And sometimes your indecision can affect almost anything you want to do. You make up your mind to do something with your spouse, but you're so indecisive about things, then y'all never end up doing anything. And so, you know, procrastination would become the reason. I mean, I don't know what to do, so I procrastinate the point and it doesn't happen. So indecision, indecisiveness is a reason for procrastination. Number two, perfectionism. Perfectionism. Often we won't do anything until we think we can do everything. And so if I can't do it with perfection, then I just won't bother with it. And procrastination is a result of that. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 in the Amplified Bible. You know, the perfectionist says, if I can't do it the way I want to do it, then I just won't do it. And it's not that he shouldn't do that thing. It's just procrastination is a result of his perfectionism. Look what he says here in 11, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. 11, verse 4. He says, he who observes the wind and he waits for all conditions to be favorable. You see that? He says he will not sow. And he who regards the clouds, he will not reap. So now he's procrastinating in his sowing, which is now affecting his harvest. Why? Because he says, I'm not going to give until all the conditions are favorable. And I don't give when all the conditions are favorable. The time I'm really motivated to give when nothing's favorable. Okay? And then he says, then he won't reap. Verse 4, stay there. That's the only one. He won't reap because he's regarding the clouds. He's so busy looking at it, you know, what's going on with the clouds. Notice waiting on everything to be perfect, waiting on everything to be favorable. Perfectionism causes you to operate in procrastination. So you have indecisiveness, you have perfectionism, and then three, as I said before, this is tied into procrastination, laziness. Laziness. I don't want to put forth the effort to change. I know I need to change. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to put forth the effort to change. So people in their hearts know what they should do. They have good intentions of doing it, but they keep putting it off. And how many of you know that, you know, we don't do things by good intentions? I mean, one day I'm going to get in shape. You know you need to. You know, one day I'm going to stop eating like this. You know you need to. You know, one day I'm going to do this. And you don't want to call it laziness. And I want to be bold enough to say you're lazy. Because you know to do some things, you just won't do it. You just won't do it. And then you make an excuse that becomes your reason for not doing. Well, the doctor said my sugar level high. It should be. You eat a lot of sugar. Well, that ain't the only cause. Whatever. Keep finding more excuses instead of trying to find a way. So you can make an excuse or you can find a way to do what needs to be done. It's insanity to think you can keep doing the same thing and expect different results. You have no right to expect different results. You're doing the same thing. Listen to me carefully. I have good intentions. And someday I plan on being, you know, cooperative with the Holy Spirit and working with the Holy Spirit. But not now. That's the attitude of a lot of people. Good intentions do not equal your cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It will never equal that. So you have to understand that no one is rewarded for good intentions. You don't get rewards for good intentions. I used to say to people, change isn't change until you've changed. Change isn't change because you had a conversation about change. Change isn't change because you prayed about change. Change isn't change because you looked the definition up and you wrote a whole paper about change. It's not change until it's changed. And so likewise, where intentions are concerned, there's no profit in good intentions. What does the Bible say? That the way, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. It's going to be filled with a lot of people that had good intentions. Hospitals are filled with a lot of people that have good intentions. Graveyards are filled with people that had good intentions. You follow what I'm saying? People that are in, a lot of people in jail that had good intentions. I talked along these lines years ago, and a prisoner came up to me. He says, Doc, if I'd have heard this before, I wouldn't be here. I had intentions. That doesn't work. I'm trying to challenge you to come away from excuse making, come away from procrastination, be decisive. Don't wait till all the conditions are perfect. Refuse to be lazy and watch God come in and begin to take you to places that you are probably now dreaming about. And so everything starts with one simple act, one simple decision that says that if God sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me, I'm going to cooperate with it. I'm going to cooperate with it. If He says something to me, you better believe that's gold. Listen, there's always the other side of what He said to you. It's real breakthrough. It's real breakthrough when you hear God. The breakthrough doesn't come necessarily from the word of God. It comes from a word from God. And when the Holy Spirit's taking the time to direct you, and the Holy Spirit's taking the time to speak to you and even correct you or even rebuke you, that's amazing. That's a huge, huge part of something that's getting ready to break loose in your life. And I just believe that in the name of Jesus, that there's something powerful going to happen, because we're going to be people that say, you know what, Holy Spirit, wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Used to have an old message song we used to sing in church, where He leads me, I will follow. I'll be somewhere, I think it was listening for His name. I'll be somewhere, you know. I don't want to be in hell trying to listen for His name, okay? I mean, you know, I can hear somebody saying, I knew I was supposed to get my life together. I intended on getting saved. I intended on coming to church. And then when the trouble hits, it's this confusion, like, oh my God, what happened? God saw that thing way before it got to you. Had a way out, had a path. Procrastination kept you in the place for the failure, when cooperation with God was going to move you out of the path of it. You got to decide. You got to make your mind up to do the things you need to do. So remember, when they came to Jesus and said that they were out of wine in that wedding that Jesus went to, what did He tell them to do? Listen. We're out of wine. What do we do? He said, fill the water pots with water. But that didn't make sense. I said, we're out of wine. You want to put water in the bottles, in the pots. We're out of wine. And you say, put water. But that didn't make sense to them. They needed wine, not water. They needed a miracle. But it started with them taking immediate action and doing whatever Jesus told them to do. I believe the Holy Spirit lives in you. He lives in us. And he's not just been sent there so we can jerk a jiggle. He wants to guide us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to give us instructions. He wants to give us a warning about things that have not yet come to your place. And if it's any place where we talk about needing immediate action is when he speaks. When he speaks, you should not have this casual attitude of just kind of putting it on the side. When he speaks, it needs to be priority. Just put it on a sticky, put it on your refrigerator. That's a major piece in whatever God's trying to do in your life. That's a major piece in your safety. I don't believe that somebody just goes out and just dies. I believe if you back it up, rewind, somewhere between that situation, that terrible situation, and when God said something, could have stopped that particular situation. I remember when it was almost 19 years ago when I went to Sacramento, California. There was a thing about preachers being people of their words, and I was teaching on integrity, and I wrote a book on integrity. And I was on my way to Sacramento, and I heard the Spirit of God say, "You don't go." And I said to him, "Lord, but my integrity's on the line." I thought, this is so stupid. The Prince of Integrity just told me, don't go. So I said, you know, I don't, here I am talking to him. He tells me one thing and I'm like, no, I'm watching out for you. I want to be a man of integrity, da, 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 da. But I wouldn't let, Jeremy, I think, was in high school, he wanted to go. And I'm like, you can't go. I said, your Uncle Ken's gonna go with me because, you know, he's an ex-football player, his body can take it. And I'm like, I can't even believe that came out of my mouth. I'm like, what did I just say? So we get up, we fly there, and we get there and get up in the morning, we say our confessions, we pray, spend time with the Lord, we clothe ourselves like we've done for years. And just really strange things happening. He had a new Suburban, the preacher I was visiting, and I normally don't sit in the front seat because I don't want to put my seatbelt on because I don't want to wrinkle my coat. So he talked me into getting me in the front seat. So I got in the front seat, so I put the seatbelt on. And we're riding, and, you know, all of a sudden this car runs a red light, and the Suburban goes airborne in front of these people, and it turns over and over. It literally knocked the wheels off the tire. Minister Ken went out the side back door, almost probably 60 yards or something, landed in the windshield of this car at the other red light. So you imagine this lady sitting there and a flying man comes through the car. And we turn over and over and over again, and all that stuff happens. And I ask myself, of course, I believe the blood of Jesus was over our lives because we took authority before we left. But did that have to happen? See, he was way ahead of the game. And if I had died, it wouldn't have been, what happened? Oh, God, what happened? Why did God let this happen? No. God said, don't go. There was no cooperation on my part. I'm trying to have integrity. Now, that don't happen no more. I was in a situation and I was on my way to Lagos and he said, don't go. I called him. I said, I'll pay whatever you paid on marketing, but I can't come. God told me not to go. And there was even strange things there that happened. But he knows what your future has. And if he takes the time to tell you and to warn you and to talk to you, but he also can talk to you about other things. Buy that piece of land right there. Mm-hmm. But Lord, that ain't nothing. Buy it. You send a letter, and then somebody comes and says, I'll give you 10 times what that's worth. I got to have this thing in order to get my project through, and you didn't know it. What would happen in our life where success is concerned if we would start providing immediate action to when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us and telling us what to do? A lot of stuff would begin to happen. Procrastination is an enemy to that success. Procrastination is an enemy to that type of progress. Procrastination is an enemy to that type of safety and preservation. And I just thank God that he was merciful and kind enough. I didn't get what I deserved. And, you know, had I died in that wreck, I would have been dead for almost 20 years and missed out on all of this wonderful stuff. And I'm telling you, it just pays to listen and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and not allow procrastination to keep you in places that will keep you on the outside of your success and the things of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying right there? That's a big deal, big deal. Let me give you another example. Maybe you need a financial change. A lot of people need a financial change, right? Maybe you need a financial change. And the Bible says, you know, give. And you may say, well, that won't fix it. How that's gonna fix it? What they gonna do with anything? You follow what I'm saying? See, you've been given in the past, but this time was special. He said, give. All right? And so the first action step that you know to take is to go ahead and do it quickly. God will show you the next step. Just do what he tells you to do quickly. And then what happens? Your miracle will be waiting there. Take action now. Don't procrastinate. I need you to turn to somebody and say, take action now. Don't procrastinate. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. And when you get there, we'll look at 13 and 14. Now, verse 13 says, now notice how he says this, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. I want to read that again. Go to now. Who's he talking about, go to now? The guy that says, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. He says, we'll go into such a city and then we'll continue there a year and then we'll buy and sell and we'll get gain. And then he says in verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What's your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He says, you got to be careful about that word tomorrow. It might not show up. So don't put off for tomorrow what you can do, what? Today. So whatever we plan on doing for Christ, do it now. Do it now. James says in so many words that tomorrow is the most dangerous word in the Bible. It is lazy, it is presumptuous, and it is reckless. Wow. The word that God prefers, in fact, I'll show it to you. Here's what God prefers instead of say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off. I'm going to do it right now. And for whatever reason, I'm tired. I want to do it right now. Oh, I can do it later. And he says, dude, don't be talking about what you can do tomorrow. Life is like a vapor. Can you imagine the number of people who are not here who had something planned for tomorrow? All right? So check this out. Hebrews 3:13, and then Hebrews 4:7, and then Psalms 119. I thought I had just like two or three scriptures, but watch this. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. He said, do it while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do it today. Do it now. What are some of the things you can do today? You can love today. You can forgive today. You can be encouraging today. You know, when it's time for you to go, you ought to be ready to go. You ought not be, well, no, there's some things I need to get done first. I'm pretty good. It's like, I'm really just here for you. I've done everything I wanted to do. I love you. That's why I try to tell you as much as I can when I'm out here preaching. I love y'all. I love y'all. I feel that thing. It might not mean nothing to y'all, but it's like, I feel that thing. So, but it's like today, do it today. Do it today. And we keep procrastinating this. So he would rather hear you talk about what you'll do today rather than you talk about what you're going to do tomorrow. That's what he wants to hear. And then look at chapter 4, Hebrews 4:7. Hebrews 4:7. He says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, Don't harden your heart. Today, 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 not tomorrow. Today, 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 today. And look at Psalms 119:60. This is going to change your life because you're going to be tempted to do this, you know, tomorrow what you can do today. And hopefully this message just starts ringing on the inside of you. Let me do it right now. Let me do it right now. Let me do it right now. All right, look at this. Verse 60. He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. In those days when they were keeping the commandments, they were saying, I did that now. I did it today. Today, we don't want to make haste in having faith in what Jesus has already done for us and believing what Jesus has done for us. And believe it now. Don't wait until something happens to believe it. Believe it today. Believe it today. Believe it. Believe that I'm a success today. Believe that I'm healed today. Do it today. And then do it every day. Do it each day. You know, don't walk around saying, well, I have knowledge of this, but I'm not practicing this. Practice your faith. Practice the presence of God. Do it today. There's nothing wrong with you getting up and saying, you know, God, I just thank you so much that I am blessed today. That today I'm healed. Today's going to be a good day. What did he say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should have a lot that we need to be saying every day. Why are we saying it? Because we believe it. So that's the real deal. Why are we not saying it? Maybe we don't believe it. Examine this. Because when this is right and full, your mouth will just correspond with what you believe. I want to stay hot on what I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's forgiven me of my sins. I believe I'm the righteousness of God. I believe that I am blessed. I believe that the Holy Spirit lives and abides in me. I believe that I'm an heir of the whole world. I believe it. I believe it. And I spend time with what I believe. And guess what? That stuff's coming out of my mouth. That stuff's coming out of my mouth because I am examining every day what I believe, what I believe. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, guard your eyes, your ears, your mouth, guard your heart. Why guard your heart? He says, because there's things coming out of it. Out of it flows the issues of life. One translation says the forces of life. The issues of your very life flow out of your heart. Not only the issues of your life, but the words out of your mouth flow out. Everything flows out of your heart. Those words that you speak flow out your heart. You're going to say what you believe. You're going to say what you believe. People tell on themselves. If you understand this principle, just sit back and listen to people as they tell on themselves. They're going to say what they believe. Today. Today I believe. Today I believe he's my Savior. Today I believe that I am everything that his blood made. I believe that. I believe that. I remind myself. I put that on purpose in my memory. I think on these things. I think on these things. I think on these things. I get in here. I think on these things. I just don't wake up in the morning, oh, I'm a Christian under grace. I'm glad I know that. I don't want to have just an education in my mind. I want to have a practice in my life. And then everything comes out like it's supposed to come out. Oh, praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, no procrastination in my life. No procrastination in my life. I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments. In other words, what I got out of this was be a now person. Be a N-O-W, now person. Say out loud, I'm a now person. Not a tomorrow person. I'm a now person. I'm a now person. Well, I'm going to go look for a job later. Well, I'm going to go and get this degree. I know I need to get it. I'm going to go get this certification. I'm going to invest in myself today. I'm going to quit cussing so much. I'm going to be a now person. Be a now person. I'm going to be nicer to my spouse. I'm going to stop watching so much TV. I'm not going to eat so much sweet. Every time you look around, you got a honey bun in your hand. It's just like, and they do look delicious. I saw one last night. I saw one last night at a high school basketball game. This kid came around with a honey bun. I was like, Lord, put that baby in the microwave for about, what, 10 seconds? Oh, you remember the cinnamon rolls that you used to unfold? You used to take them out and just unroll them and eat them piece by piece? Amen. Now, Let's take it a step further. The Bible takes a strong stance against procrastination. And he takes a strong stance against not doing things with immediate action, not being that now person. Look at James 4:17. I wanted to read it out of the King James and amplify it. James chapter 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. This is the thing that changed my whole life. I'm having to face what I know. And I'm having to realize the truth that I know, but I'm not doing. And I'm realizing knowing stuff and not doing stuff. I mean, so I know to do good to him who knows to do good and he doeth it not. He said to him, it's sin. And I pretty much put everybody on the planet in that category. See, while you're trying to talk about how you're just awesome and all these things, this one right here just nails everybody. How many times we knew to do good and we didn't do it? Man, to know to do good for somebody else and I didn't do it because I was occupied with something at the time. Or maybe I was feeling kind of sorry for myself. It's very dangerous for you to insert yourself in every situation. It's not about you. It's about you being blessed so you can really impact somebody else's life. And it's so tempting at times to insert yourself in the situation because nobody knows what you really do. If you hang around that long enough, you start getting depressed and sad because don't nobody know what you do. And the problem with that is now you're needing validation because of, nobody knows what you do. And so you're hungry for validation because nobody knows what you do. Oh, if they really knew what I did, if they really knew the sacrifice, if they really knew. But here's the deal, I don't want you to ever forget this. There are people that have done amazing things. They have lived and they are gone and they've done amazing things and nobody will ever know about it. But let me tell you something, when you do what you do out of your heart, then you won't need anybody to validate you. When you are sincere about what you do, you don't need nobody to ever validate you. And it's fun to be sincere about what you do and not have to search for the validation. The social media age is very interesting because the social media age promotes performance. Yeah. I want to put something out, then I want to go see how I performed. And then it says, well, the degree of it has to get even more intense because you're working for the approval. And how did it perform? That's sad. It's just, what's wrong with that? You know, the world is crazy right now. It's crazy right now. I'm getting ready to set up a meeting with some mayors and governors about coming up with a sex task force for sex trafficking, just like a drug task force. And they bust in your house and get the drugs. I need to take this tax money. There's 60,000 kids missing. And there needs to be a task force to put together to bust up some. See, their strategy, every type of thing develops a strategy. And they need to study the strategy, become aware of the strategy, and stop this stuff. And I will remind you that you have a daughter. And it's not even daughters now. And it's rising to an epidemic level. And I'm like, when are y'all understanding that this is until it comes to your house? Are you following what I'm saying? It's weird. It's weird. There are weird things going on, weird kind of stuff going on. The acceptable lifestyle is being accepted by every lifestyle. And it's okay for a teenager to do all kinds of odd sexual acts that you, the parents, don't even know anything about because it's accepted in their crew, so it's cool to do. Some of the most nastiest stuff you ever heard before in your life. Some of y'all need to get out. You need to start talking to people younger than you so they can tell you stuff that'll blow your mind. And I'm like, it's all performance based, working for approval. I need you to approve me. I'm sad, I don't have friends, I need you to approve me. I'm not getting it from the parents, nobody's ever proud of me, I need you to approve me. And I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to get your approval, even if it's wrong, I need approval. I'm hungry and thirsty for approval. And I am saying that when they encounter us as Christians, we should give them something that Christ has given us that'll make them feel so good about being a Christian, and they'll want to be a Christian. Oh, we got a lot of good things going on, but here's the thing that it could got me. You know to do good. You don't do it. Procrastination. What good has been lurking around your life? And it hadn't happened yet. It hadn't happened yet. Something will change in you if you'll just start kind of letting it happen. I know to do good. Let me do something. Let me just do something good. We used to have this member, she used to sit right there, and just as sweet as she wanted to be. And she came and she said, Pastor Dollar, the times change. I think some of y'all remember Miss Sarah Talley. She said, times change, and when it get dark, I can't see to get to church at night. So forgive me, but I won't be on Wednesday nights because it's dark. And she said, you know, by the way, my car is having trouble. You need to get me a car. She was that forward. Well, sweetest lady I've met for in my life. Well, I said, Miss Sarah, what kind of car you want? Nothing too fancy. I like the Chevrolets. What's your color? Gave me a color, and I went and got a car. No, you say, had I not gotten a car, I would not be able to sleep no more. Not because of her, but because I knew that I was supposed to do that before she even said it. And I had a problem because I should have did it before she said it. When she passed, one of the things she wanted to do, I don't know if she wanted her ashes spread on her church ground. See, I want my ashes spread around on the church. I said, the church? I said, they cut the grass and they could be picking your ashes up. So. Sweetest lady. I think she was over our interaction department when we first started. Interaction department. Just sweet lady. And what do you know to do good that you have a bit marked with procrastination? It'll change your life. It'll change your life. I mean, just starting with her opened me up. I think I ended up buying like over 100 cars because I knew to do good in those situations.
It's time for real change. Eliminate bad habits that stunt your growth and embrace God's best for your life. It all starts by changing the way you think.
God has so much that He wants to do for you, and He's trying to get you to see what He sees.
And if you discover the grace over your life and the will of God for your life, you'll begin to see what God sees.
This series taught me that change only happens when you renew your mind. But if you want godly change, you must renew your mind based on God's word and His grace.
You can also receive today's full message for only $7. Or for $20, the New You Bundle helps you understand how to break mental strongholds and receive God's grace for change. This bundle includes both the Your New Life by Grace CD series and the How to Renew Your Mind CD series, all for just $20. Order now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org or call the number on the screen for more information.
I want you to look at your life, your family, your friendships, your job, your hobbies, every single piece that makes up your life. God cares about it, not just your Sunday morning life. He came that every piece would be good, that every single piece would be covered with His love, with His favor. That's what it's all about. It's about you understanding that He's involved in every piece. Yes, He gave you salvation, but this life, this grace life, it's about the whole thing. It's about your flourishing in every piece of your life, not just on Sunday morning, because He's not just a Sunday morning kind of God. And I'm on a mission to show you how to take back the victory in all those pieces. How every single piece of your life is covered under this grace. So join me July 6th through the 10th for Grace Life 2020. Register now at CrefloDollarMinistries.org. And remember, no piece left behind.
Jesus instructed us to take this gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. With the seeds you sow into Creflo Dollar Ministries, we extend this good news of grace to people on every single continent. They are empowered to see real change in their lives. That's exactly what you do when you send in your financial donations to support our outreach endeavors. You empower change in people's lives. And for that, we say thank you and God bless you. I'll see you next time here on Changing Your World.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CrefloDollarMinistries.org. God bless you. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.